RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
I want to start by saying to all of you fans out there that put the green and white on yesterday and went to that game, I salute you, because you are a better fan than I am. There is not a shot in hell that I would have shown up for a Week 17 game when it's 35 degrees out against a hated rival that you know is going to kick your ass, and yet you still went out there and you were outnumbered by the Patriot fans. So honestly, and I mean this, I salute you Jet fans, you diehards that were out there yesterday. That having been said, and this has nothing to do with tanking or trying to lose any of that, the product and the performance put out by the Jets yesterday might have been one of the worst I have ever seen in my 47 years of watching NFL football. I heard one guy, Chris, that said he compared it to the varsity playing the JV. Nonsense. That was the varsity playing the freshman, and the Jets didn't belong on the same field as that team. And I don't know, and this is where I'll leave it to you, I don't know what you do with the coach. I don't know if it didn't matter what they did this year, but that was an out-and-out disgrace yesterday.
Well, I mean, listen, I totally agree. And if you're going to ask me about the coach, I mean, I hate to respond to question with a question, but what has he done to deserve his job?
I don't know.
Like, that's the thing. I mean, what has he done to deserve his job? We could talk. The only argument to be made is you don't want to be more dysfunctional and fire the coach after 1 year. That's it. Because everything he claimed, all the, and he didn't set like big time benchmarks, but he started the season. He has changed his tune on the expectations of this team week in and week out. And to now it's to the point of, well, we play hard, and he couldn't even clear that bar. Like, that's as low. He said it last week with, finally, after, we're going to be a team you're proud of. Well, I mean, I didn't mean right away. Or, you know, like, you know, we're going to be a winning team. Well, not this year. Like, every expectation. Now it's, you know, big ships turn slow and everything. Up until last week, the bar was, well, we play hard. Even he has said they didn't meet that criteria. What exactly has this culture-building coach done to deserve to come back?
I don't know.
There's nothing. They have completely faded. The defense, which is he is the defensive coach, has been, he fired the defensive coordinator in Wilkes. It was a bad hire to begin with, in my opinion. It's been a disaster. I know they traded away two of their best players. I get it. But they showed some life right after that trade and now have completely fallen apart. Chris was giving you the 107-point differential in December. They have completely given up. So there goes the culture idea. They're about to probably draft a quarterback. Him and Muji brought in Justin Fields, who cannot play, chose to give him $20 million a year. They couldn't come up with a game plan for him. They couldn't figure out a way to make the offense function with him. They've had a decent offensive line. They have a good running back. Like, and they've been unable to do anything offensively, and now they don't even play hard. Explain to me what a defensive coach who's a culture-building coach who hasn't brought any culture building to this team at all. In fact, it's gone the opposite way the last 4 weeks. It should be the coach of a team that's going to draft a young quarterback when he has shown clearly he has no idea who to pick at quarterback or how to develop them.
Right. Well, I think that's where the trust has to lie in Muji, obviously.
Right.
He has made a couple of good trades in terms of getting some draft capital, extra draft picks, whatever. But that said, the head coach is an interesting one because they've got no interceptions on the season, which is remarkable. I don't know how that happens. I don't think it's ever happened before in the history of the league where a team's gone the first 16 games.
Yeah, they've already broken the record. Yeah.
Which is just nuts. They don't have a quarterback. He didn't want Aaron Rodgers. We don't need to go down that road again. Right. That's fine, though. I would have brought him back since he was under contract, and you had no better option, and I would have at least taken a shot. And if it didn't go well, now we know we need the quarterback. But
and you had someone to lay some blame on, too. Well, you know, we felt like we had to keep Aaron Rodgers. Like, you could have deflected it instead of having nobody but yourself to stand there and go, this is my fault.
But I can't answer your question. I can't. That's why I threw it to you. I don't know. The only answer would be kind of what you hinted at. for sake of consistency and giving him a chance. I don't like, I hate talking about firing guys. Sure. I know this is what they do for a living. We're not in the in that building. We don't know how the players view him. But what I saw yesterday, almost, and I wouldn't have said this before yesterday, yesterday's game was a cause for fire. It was awful.
It was that bad.
And I and you're right. They traded some good players away, but the lack of tackling in Spurs, and I don't know who it was. Again, I was working the Panthers-Seahawks game on Compass Media Network, so I did have the Jet game on one of my TVs. There was one play where they were down 28-3, and the kid flies from the secondary and makes a tackle on like second or third down for a loss of two, and he's up like pointing and hollering. I know it's an emotional game. My God, just go back and make another play. It's just I was just nuts. So I don't know what you do with them. To me, like I said, they're not worth more than 5 minutes of our time because they were that bad.
That's how bad it was.
But you have to at least mention how horrific Sunday was.
It was that bad. So, for me, I would not bring him back. I don't like saying it either. You can't give me one good reason to bring this coach back. You can't give me one good reason.
And I didn't even put the Jets on my list. The Jets are a team. You know, if the Raiders are going to, with the number one pick, the Jets, I miss them.
Oh, clearly.
They're clearly a team that needs to move up and get a quarterback. And don't miss, you know, you've got Mendoza, just as an aside. I know he won the game against Ohio State. He won the Heisman. He's been great. I'm not going to sit here and fake like I have any idea what Mendoza is. I don't watch it. I'm not interested in watching it. We'll see with everybody else. Same thing with Moore. These kids are in the college football playoffs.
Yeah.
A lot's going to be made of how they play in these big games. You know, I wouldn't. Would you be stunned? And I don't know that Oregon's going to go on any big run. I have no idea. But if he played phenomenal over the next week or two or whatever it would be, going as far as they could, and then had this unbelievable combine, would you be shocked if we were sitting here in April that he is the number one pick that the Raiders like?
No.
And that Mendoza could still be sitting there at two?
Absolutely. No, it wouldn't it wouldn't shock me at all. It would surprise me. I don't think we're going in that direction. But no, would it shock me? No, we have seen crazier things when it comes to the college quarterback. And the Jets, I mean, you have to do it now. You know, there's a lot of talk about maybe getting another bridge quarterback in here and kicking it down the line because next year the quarterback class is a lot better. Like, I mean, you know, Malik Willis has played well for Green Bay. Like, he's been okay. You're going to bring in him or, you know, some other fledgling quarterback. Like, you're not going to win with that quarterback.
At some
you're not
point, you need a franchise team. Quarterback.
You got to just take the franchise quarterback. How many losing seasons? We just saw with Brian Daboll. You can't have that many L's next to your name and expect to keep your job, whether you're a GM or a head coach. Like, you have to go out and make this move in this offseason. And I do not trust him to make this move. And now you can't even make the culture building argument. The team has completely let go of the rope. They have. That was an embarrassing display of football. Drake May could have dropped 65 in that game without breaking a sweat. They completely came out in the second half. They went right down their throat in the first half, went for it on every fourth down, put it in the end zone, and in the second half, they just took their foot off the gas and allowed that game to coast. They could have put up another 35 in the second
half. I agree. They could have done 70.
Whatever they wanted to do. It was an embarrassing display. The Jets have nothing for the Patriots. And I'm sorry, like, the coach, he could tell you all he wants after the game. He's supposed to be someone, like, we see what's going on with the Saints and what they've been able to accomplish over the last couple weeks. Like, and again, I'm not telling you that's the be-all, end-all.
No, because
I don't care about
meaning
those games. But they're trying.
Yep.
This coach is built on the idea that he will continue to have a team that fights for him because that's what New York is like and lunch pail and all the other nonsense that he comes in talking, that most coaches come in talking. This team has completely let go of the rope. I have no faith in him making a decision on the quarterback or developing one, and I have zero faith now that he's any kind of culture builder. What exactly does he do to warrant keeping his job?
You mentioned the Kellen Moore thing, and I do think it's interesting in New Orleans. One game doesn't, you know, carry over, and I don't even know the four or five games carry over, but the Saints have played really well.
Right.
And it looks like, outside looking in, it looks like they've really turned a corner on what they're trying to do there. And he's gotten good play out of Shock.
Well, that's the thing.
Which is really something. So you come back to the coach and the quarterback again. And there's the ray of sunshine for your Giant fans.
Yeah, you got to get the coach. And that's what was so frustrating about Brian Daboll, because I felt that connection was there. They just couldn't win a freaking game and they kept blowing all the leads. But, like, that's my point.
right? Because I don't know. Is Moore some sort of great culture builder? I mean, he's got the Saints playing well and everybody's fighting? Or is he a good offensive coach who figured out a way to turn a average quarterback into a good game manager, and he's out there winning football games? That's what it's about. You get a quarterback and you get a coach. The Jets continue to hire these defensive coordinators. I don't understand.
In an offensive game.
It's an offensive game. Unless you are going to hire, which I said I would, right, Mike Tomlin. He's a head coach. Do I care that he was a defensive backs coach 35 years ago? No. He's a head coach now. Vrabel, I don't care that he played linebacker. He's a head coach. Bill Belichick, I don't even consider him necessarily a defensive coordinator anymore. Head coach. There are those type of coaches that you go out and you go get no matter what. They're proven. But for the most part, if you're going to take a chance, like, that's why I keep hearing Shula with the Rams. They've blown more fourth quarter leads than almost any other team in the league. But like that, I don't understand it. If you were going to hire a first time head coach and a coordinator, and you're a team like the Jets that's going to be drafting, like, you need an offensive mind in there. You need that coach quarterback relationship. So for me, especially knowing they're going to go get a quarterback, I need an offensive guy, not someone who can't coach a quarterback, can't pick a quarterback, and then has shown me nothing in the way of culture building, which is what he was hired for.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
All right, it is a Monday midday right here, the Fan in New York. Bringing in 2026, a couple days away. Dove, Nico across the way, other side at the controls. We're taking you right up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. 888-808-1019, that is your number to call. You can hit me up on X at Mark Melusis. That is Mark with a C. And plenty to chat about, plenty to get into. We'll get to the Giants. I understand a lot of Giant fans upset by their superlative performance yesterday against the Vegas Raiders. By the way, as Max Crosby posted another video working out showing that his knee is A-OK, 100% healthy, that's an issue for Davis and the Raiders moving forward. But as we saw yesterday with their performance against the Giants, the Raiders have got a cavalcade of issues to deal with. But we'll get into Big Blue and why yesterday was a good thing, not necessarily a bad thing. And I'll explain a little bit later on. And we'll get into the Rappaport report that came out from the NFL Network yesterday afternoon as well in terms of the future of the general manager, Joe Shane. But we start off with the Jets. And there are sometimes, and you know I've talked about Aaron Glenn, and you had the report 9 days ago that Aaron Glenn was going to be given a second year. But there are games where you look at it and you watch it as a fan. If you sat back, relaxed, had your favorite libation, it's the holiday season, there are games that get coaches fired. There are performances that get coaches fired. And yesterday's performance against the New England Patriots, in which the Jets allowed, you know, Drake May to go 11 for 11 to begin the game, where they scored 5 touchdowns on their 5 offensive possessions in the first half, where he had Mike Vrabel using a timeout with 19 seconds to go, leading the game 35-3, and basically telling his team on the sideline, blank them, and everyone laughing and mocking out the New York Jets on that Patriots sideline. There are games to make the Jets go out there and run one more offensive play. And I understand there are Jet fans that are upset. Here's the deal. Do something about it. And I don't mean a fight. I don't mean an altercation. I mean, provide a little bit of pushback. Where was a little sense of pride yesterday? There was none. I mean, Aaron Glenn can tell you after the game all he wants that we've improved. There are things that you might not be able to see. It's all nonsense where the Jets have improved. What? Have you improved where? Where exactly have you improved? You've not been as leaky of a ship as you've been the last 2 years. What, Woody Johnson's not as hands-on as he was the last 2 years? What, you're going to give me a good quote in one of these press conferences? What, you fired Steve Wilks? Where exactly is the improvement? Where is the tangible improvement? Because the Jets were not just bad in the month of December. They were historically bad. They lost to the Dolphins 34-10. They lost to the Jaguars 48-20. They were non-competitive against Tyler Shuck and the New Orleans Saints down in the Bayou. They lost that game 29-6. And then yesterday, they lose to the Patriots 42-10. Now you might say, well, the Patriots are a good football team. Well, yeah, I agree with you. Can I ask you this? Why does it look different for other places? Why exactly do I look across the landscape of the National Football League yesterday and I see the Pittsburgh Steelers, who basically could cement home a playoff spot? Now, you might say, divisional game. Okay, so is this against New England. Divisional game. Browns were home. So were the New York Jets. The Browns, with little to no offense whatsoever, go out there, stymie Aaron Rodgers with that defense. Miles Garrett, fantastic. The Steelers basically wanted to prevent Garrett from getting that sack record. Who won the game? The Browns. And Stefanski might be a dead coach walking. How about the Saints? You want to bring up another example, who the Jets lost to a couple weeks ago by 23. How about the New Orleans Saints with Tyler Shuck? You know what? Yesterday, down in Tennessee, coming back in the second half, they win the game by 8. Shuck goes out there, throws for 340 yards. The Saints have played well. They beat Carolina on a couple occasions. They went down to Tampa and beat Baker and the Bucs. And I understand that might not mean anything right now because, you know, the Buccaneers have lost 7 of their last 8 games after starting the season 6-2. But you're seeing life from the New Orleans Saints. Even the Tennessee Titans, who fired their head coach months ago. The Tennessee Titans a week and a half ago went out there and beat the Kansas City Chiefs and then played a quality football game yesterday against New Orleans. You're seeing signs of life, a little sign of progression. You get none of that, none of it from the New York Jets. And that is the frustrating aspect. And then you get from Glenn yesterday after the game, well, you know what? I'm not going to go out there and blame the rookie quarterback. You're really going to blame Cook? Because the lack of offense? I mean, that's what you're going to lean into? You guys, I mean, this is the Mensa meeting that decided to build the quarterback room, that decided to build the quarterback room the way that you did. This is, I mean, when you look at Mucci and Glenn, they're the ones that looked at Justin Fields and said, yes, let's lean into him. The only quarterback in that room that can play is Taylor, and he can't stay healthy. Cook is non-competitive. And then you want to tell me, way after you bench Justin Fields, that you're going to start Tyrod Taylor because you want to learn. This was what was leaked out of Florham Park. We'll learn whatever about everything else going on with the team so we can evaluate the rest of the team. The team stinks. And the funny aspect of it was, is that the comparison to the Lions and Dan Campbell is this. Glenn was not handed a roster that stunk. There is talent on this team. And yesterday, the Jets got absolutely and thoroughly embarrassed. There was no pushback. There was no pride. There was nothing. They allowed the New England Patriots to come in. And I was dead wrong. I did the show yesterday morning. I said this would be the prototypical spot where Belichick was coaching the New England Patriots. You know, he would absolutely leave no doubt. He would want to thoroughly and completely and utterly embarrass the New York Jets. I thought maybe Vrabel would take the foot off the gas, and he did in the second half. I mean, took May out of the game as he runs to the sideline with chance of MVP from the, you know, large Patriot faithful that packed MetLife Stadium on a chilly Sunday. And I don't blame the Jet fan for getting rid of their tickets. I mean, who wants to watch this slop? But I was wrong about that. Vrabel called that timeout in the second half and in the end of the first half and mocking the New York Jets. You know what? That should make you angry. That should make you ticked off. I don't want to hear about in the second half that they scored points against Jacksonville. Who cares? That is window dressing. Or that Breece Hall went over 1,000 yards before he suffered a knee injury. Who cares? Good for him. Dealing with this mess that is this coaching staff. And I was dead wrong. Listen, I thought it couldn't be worse than what you saw with Saleh. And Saleh's team's underperformed.
and it was a constant nonsense and drama and the leaks coming out of Florham Park. But you watch this product. I asked Glenn, you know, get specific. There should have been a follow-up yesterday when he talks about things that you're not seeing that we're improving on. Hey, Aaron, look, where exactly is the improvement? What exactly is going well for this team right now? You lost games to a historically bad way in the month of December. No other team in the history of the NFL. Ever. Ever. And then you had a rival come into your last home game. Yesterday afternoon at MetLife Stadium. Your last home game. And your team looked like they wanted no part of it. And then I got to get after the game. Well, this was the first game this year. For a team that's 3-13, this is the first game this year where I was concerned about the effort. And we have to look into it. What are you looking into? The majority of the players basically can't wait to get out of here. Can't wait to go hit the, you know, whatever it be, the beach, Bahamas, Bermuda, whatever it might be. Maybe they're going on a European vacation. And I've said all along, listen, you got to give Glenn a second year. And I like the whole idea of, you know, where, you know, the Parcells outgrow kind of that old school mentality, you know, got to be heavy handed, got to be the adult in the room. But where are the answers? Talking to former players all the time, they will follow a head coach as long as they believe that head coach has the answers. Let me ask you this question. As you're listening to the sound of my voice on this Monday midday, do you think Glenn has the answers? Do you think he knows what questions need to be asked? Do you think he's going to do the self-evaluation during the course of the offseason? Now you might say, well, listen, Mark, Jets don't have a quarterback. They chose Justin Fields. That was football acumen at its worst. They looked at Justin Fields and said, you know what? He's going to be our Jared Goff. Nonsense. Goff went to a Super Bowl with the Rams. Was terrible in the game, but went to a Super Bowl. I mean, it's just, like, it makes, like, let it make sense. At some point in time, make it make sense. Nico, play the cut. Let me hear Glenn talking about, Woody Johnson and, you know, being upfront and honest with the Jets owner. Let's hear.
Woody knows just as well as anybody. I'm not going to BS him about anything at all. I think that's the one good thing about our relationship is we always want to be straightforward with each other. And the number one thing is we got to get better. And I think that's obvious. We have to get better.
Yeah, well, no doubt. I mean, Aaron, you're 3-13. I mean, you got to get better. And you can't continue to go back to the Detroit example. You just can't. You can't go out. You can't continue to tell me and preach me about Detroit and where they were, the foundation. And, you know, listen to Aaron Glenn yesterday. He's like, the guys know the foundation that we're building. What are you building? Where? Like, honestly, explain it to me like I'm in kindergarten. Exactly. What are you building? Where are we going? Where's the improvement? He talks about the improvement. Well, you might not be able to see it. Well, then where are you improving? The film room work? Where are you improving? You're putting together nice meetings? Where are you improving? Everybody's getting along down in Florham Park. There's no drama. Where are you improving? Because in the NFL, it is about wins and it is about losses. That is what it's about. That is what you're judged on each and every week. And you watched yesterday afternoon a division rival that has historically, after Bill Belichick decided to step down as HC of the NYJ after hopping out off that treadmill, and go up and join up with Kraft. And then they brought in Brady. And they got dynastic up there in Foxborough. You've watched the Patriots go out of their way, for the most part, completely and utterly embarrass the New York Jets at every chance they can. And yesterday, they mocked you. Vrabel mocked you. Now you might say a little bit of a bully. Shouldn't have called that timeout. Got to be classy. Nonsense. Now what are you going to do about it? Where's the pushback? Where's the pride? There was no effort yesterday. There hasn't been effort in weeks. You want to tell me that the Jets gave you a great effort down in New Orleans against the Saints when they lost by 23? What about against Jacksonville where they lost by 28? What about the performance against Miami? I mean, the outlier is, amazingly enough, they beat the Atlanta Falcons. But that team is so poorly coached, just like you. And what would, and I'm not one, I've said it before, I'm not one that where I was like, ah, you got to go out there. And it is the holiday season. Nobody wants to lose jobs. Trust me, I know. Right? But here's the deal. I'm not telling you that Glenn deserves, Glenn, there is no, I can't sit here and make an argument, kick it off the airwaves on this Monday midday right here on WFAN and say, bing, bang, boom, this is why Aaron Glenn deserves year number two. There's not an argument to be made. There's not an argument to be made. Former player, gets the organization, wanted the job. I get it. Paid his dues, learned under the guise and the guidance of Parcells and Grow, all of these things. I remember sitting there when he got introduced, listening as, you know, there was one former Jet after another in the building. When we take the field, you're going to know what Jet football is all about. What exactly is that? Being a doormat for the Pats? A doormat for the Saints? A doormat for the Miami Dolphins and Liam Cohen and the Jaguars? Why do I see improvement in other spots? I even see improvement. I mean, Tennessee's looking for a long-term head coach. You got McCoy down there. They got Cam Ward. And you might say, well, the quarterback room stinks. Well, listen, they've made the decisions. And it is on you as a staff to put together a game plan. Glenn even had the goal yesterday to say the game plan was solid. Really? You lost by 32. Drake May didn't throw an incomplete pass until basically the minute 44 mark of the second quarter. He started the game 11 for 11. He threw two incompletions the entire game. They're raining down MVP chants at MetLife, and that is your home. There's no argument. Now, do I think he's going to come back? I do. Do I think it's going to look decidedly different next year? I do not. What would lead you to believe that it does? Well, you want to say, well, maybe they get a franchise-changing quarterback. The question you have is, do you trust this staff? And I never thought we'd have this. Listen, when Glenn got hired, I said, well, he can't be worse than Saleh. Saleh's an unbelievable defensive coordinator, right? But he was a terrible head coach. You know, wanted to be friends with everybody, wanted to be likable, didn't want to, you know, create any kind of issues with the team and this and that. Rodgers could do no wrong. All the stuff that we talked about was Saleh at the time, right? But I didn't think anyone could be worse than Saleh. Then Aaron Glenn steps into the building. And I rooted for him. I have. I've said it time and time again, but I can't make a tangible argument, an educated argument. I can't come and give you some hot take on this Monday and say, well, this is why Glenn deserves more time. Because he's earned it. Based on what we've witnessed it. What we've witnessed this year. When I watched other teams improve. I mean, even the Browns yesterday. That have got nothing to play for. Divisional game. Outside of Garrett getting the sack record, right? Outside of that, Stefanski, dead coach, walking for all intents and purposes. And they go out there and beat the Steelers. Where the Steelers, if they get a win, they're in the playoffs and eliminate Harbaugh, Lamar, and the Baltimore Ravens. The Saints with more have showed you a pulse. The Jets are basically dead on arrival. What am I supposed to go goo goo gaga over Hall getting 1,000 yards rushing? And I like Breece Hall. I do. I feel bad for him. Got to be beaten down by the losing. As was Quinnen Williams. As was Sauce Gardner. Where are the answers? As we get set to ring in the new year. The Patriots yesterday, who are not going anywhere, because Vrabel has got a clue, and he is a true culture changer, and they've got a franchise quarterback in year two in May. But the Patriots yesterday went into your building, packed with Pat fans. Now, does Woody care about that? No, he just wants to sell the tickets. By the way, the soccer coach missed the kick. But the Jets can't even get out of their own way with that one. But the Patriots stepped into that building yesterday, not only embarrassed you, but they mocked you doing it. It's great that Glenn's honest and open with Woody Johnson. What else you got to say? Hey, Woody, listen. It hasn't gone our way, year number one. It'll look decidedly different year two. Trust me. In order to have trust, you got to show some sort of a pathway, show some sort of a sign of life, some sort of a sign of improvement. And you know what the Jets were in the month of December? As we got one game left to go, historically bad. Not bad, historically bad. Take flight.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
But we do have to turn the page to something.
Mm-hmm.
What you saw out of the New York Giants yesterday, at a bare minimum, with an interim coach who feels like he's a dead man walking, with some veterans who had been easy to check out, you saw a team have the want to.
Yes.
As Tiki Barber likes to say, the give, the care. And Tiki, like the gluttonous NFL pig I was, I absorbed all the games and all the TVs. I saw a team like the Miami Dolphins, who should have entered yesterday in total quit mode, beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I saw the Cleveland Browns, where Kevin Stefanski feels like he's a dead man walking in Cleveland, turn around versus their rival Steelers and put them on the precipice of elimination Sunday night. I saw teams starting Tyler Huntley and Malik Willis go dual threats at each other Saturday night, play hard. I saw backup quarterback, third string quarterback in Kansas City nearly beat the Denver Broncos on Christmas night. I saw Max Brosmer get the best of a Jared Goff Lions team on Christmas. Now, why am I laying out all these crappy quarterbacks and all these crappy teams? What the hell is the excuse for what the New York Jets laid out yesterday and what they've continued to lay out since, you know, for the last 4 weeks?
Yes.
Where they're giving up 40 points here, 35 points here. How is it in a team that should be building the culture by the end of the year, even in a lost year with this head coach, how could the Jets allow the Patriots to just spike the ball in their face, run them over 15 times, and laugh at them? There is no pride in the New York Jets under Aaron Glenn.
No, that's what it felt like. It felt like this team didn't care about winning. They didn't care about playing. Other than Breece Hall, by the way, who had a big run at the end of the game. And I was sad that I had him on my fantasy bench because that put him over 20 points. But
well, you can't blame you.
I know, I won anyways, but it was okay. But still, other than him, what was happening that made this team look like they cared? Nothing. And it was from play calling, from effort, from lack of care. It didn't look like they even cared that they were getting their asses beat by the New England Patriots. This vaunted rival who dominated them for decades, and all of a sudden they just lay down and don't care. I mean, this game could have been 60 whatever to three.
It was a 7-on-7 scrimmage. It felt like,
dude, they stopped putting their foot on the gas.
Yeah.
After halftime, and this is a Mike Vrabel staple. It's unfortunately why they lost to the Buffalo Bills when they had a 14 or 17 point lead or whatever it was in the second half of that game 2 weeks ago. When Vrabel gets a big lead, he just kind of starts chilling.
Yeah,
and even when he was chilling, he scored points.
Yeah, and he was caught on the sideline, kind of mouthing like he doesn't give a bleep. You know, he put up whatever points he had to. Tiki, these are the last four games since the Jets beat the Falcons in that 9-3 ugly game, the month of December. 34-10 loss at home to Miami. 48-20 loss on the road in Jacksonville. Losing at New Orleans 29-6 and losing yesterday 42-10. I don't know what the future has this offseason, but when you look at all of the new coaches, whether it's Liam Cohen, whether it's Mike Vrabel, go down the line, all of these teams, Kellen Moore in New Orleans, all of these teams are at least getting, if they're not in playoff position, they're at least getting their teams to buy into the system and buy into the culture by the end of the year. And I know the Jets roster is a long way off, especially after trading Quinnen Williams and Sauce Gardner. And I know they're starting Brady Cook at quarterback, but I brought up some of those other names at quarterback that at least teams are, you know, trying hard and playing hard. I think this is an indictment on Aaron Glenn. And I'm not going to, the easy thing to do would be to turn on the microphone and go, he's got to be one and done as a head coach. I'm not calling for that today. I'm not saying that, but I think you have to have serious doubts today, Tiki, about whether you can envision Aaron Glenn being the actual guy to turn this Jet team around.
Yeah, look, and when we talk about Aaron Glenn, we're talking about the extended staff as well. But
yeah.
I've said this multiple times, and I'll say it again. The job of the head coach is to get a team motivated, get them prepared so that they feel like they can go into a game and understand that you know, we have a chance to win. We have everything in front of us. And then lastly, and this is probably the most important one, have them focused on each other so that it doesn't feel like you're just letting someone down when you don't care. And that's what it feels like. It feels like nobody has accountability to one another. And I know where it's a jacked up team right now. They don't have a quarterback, but there still has to be some sort of professional pride. And again, Breece Hall played fantastic, which I guess and by extension means that some of the guys on the offensive line did a good job. But from an execution, from a game planning, from a management standpoint, this felt like the worst game I've seen them play in a long time. Now, here's the caveat to this, Sean.
Okay.
What happened yesterday with the Jets losing?
I mean, they rose up the draft board a little bit.
They moved to number three.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. And there's a good chance that the Giants, whatever, they could win against the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
And the New York Jets, when they lose to the Buffalo Bills next week, could move to number two. Now, I'm not saying they're intentionally tanking, but damn, that's what it felt like.
Yeah, I mean, look, it felt like that, but if that's the case, and you're right, we're not saying they are, they certainly, when they strip down the roster at the trade deadline, you're not using the word tank, but you're not putting the best team on the field for the rest of the year.
Deferred winning.
Man, if that's part of it and Aaron Glenn understands that, Aaron Glenn better hope to God that he's keeping this job at the end of the year, because that's the only thing I question back. And Tiki, I think for the Jets' sake, and the Jets fan sanity.
You hope that's it?
That better be what's going on.
Because, I'm telling you, dude.
Because what scares me about Aaron Glenn right now in the Jets is this. That roster feels so far away. It feels further away than it's ever been in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And you need the quarterback because you see what happens when you don't have one. It's tough to compete and tough to win games. But the Jets, and you have been big on this for a couple of years about trading up, feel like a team that is in no position to be trading all of these assets they accumulated to trade up for a quarterback they don't believe in.
No.
Man, it feels like they need all five of those first-round picks over the next 2 years.
No, you're right. Now, good. The good thing is it's not the offensive line. It's not running back, but it is going to be running back because I don't think they're re-signing Breece Hall. And so you're going to go with Isaiah Davis and what's the kid that got hurt? I'm forgetting his name now.
Oh,
Wisconsin. Yeah. But whatever, you know what I mean.
Bo Allen?
Yeah, whatever his name is. Doesn't even matter. But my point is, the best player on that team doesn't feel like he's going to be on that team next year.
Braylon Allen.
Exactly. So they've addressed it without addressing it. So they need talent. They need depth. They need defensive playmakers. They need another wide receiver. They most importantly, Sean, you mentioned it, they need a quarterback. And the only way they're getting one, because there's not a ton in free agency. I mean, you could go get, maybe Geno Smith if he gets cut. You could go get Kirk Cousins when he's free. Like, you could go try. It's not going to feel right.
No.
They need to draft a quarterback. And the issue with the 2026 draft, it is a two-quarterback draft.
Yep.
It is Fernando Mendoza, who, by the way, I don't even know how he's going to work in an NFL locker room. It might be great. It might be like, dude, you are such a nerd.
And a big game for him on Thursday. He could have his stock drop a little bit.
Or Dante Moore.
Yep.
And he might stay. And so there is no way to get a quarterback right now. Unless you overpay for one via trade or free agency. And you just tried that. And I don't think it's going to work again. At least not with the fan base.
And that's what scares me about the Aaron Glenn dilemma. Because, Tiki, the Jets, like you just pointed out, they need to have a quarterback. But they also need a lot of other bodies. Aaron Glenn cannot afford in year two to not have the quarterback situation figured out, stabilized, at least some sign for the future. Because if he doesn't, he's not going to be around for a year three to see when the team does figure out that situation.
Right, another year of this means Aaron Glenn's not the head coach of the New York Jets.
Right, which scares me because it means they know they have the pressure on them already to identify the quarterback position. And when the pressure's on, you might be trading a boatload of picks if you don't. finish in the top two. But, hey, the Jets might just be bad enough, and they're going to go into Buffalo next week for the closing of Orchard Park. How do you think that's going to go for the New York Jets in that stadium? 888-808-1019. Giants, Jets, both on the table to start. Plus, I will lay out exactly why I've come to terms with it's not actually worst-case scenario that the Giants won, even though I hated it yesterday.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.